everybody. Welcome to the Covenant Eyes podcast. I'm Karen, one of the hosts, and I'm joined today with Rob Stoddard. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Good, Karen. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. I'm a newly minted grandma, and I couldn't be more excited. Oh my gosh, being a grandparent is like one of the greatest joys. You think you love your kids, but wow, hold that grandbaby, and it's a whole different story.
Congratulations. There's nothing better than that, for sure.
Yes. You're a grandpa too, right?
Three times. Yep.
Yes.
Three
of them. Oh three my boys, gosh.
So, yeah, it's fun.
It is fun. Awesome. Well, today's going to be fun too. We've got an old Absolutely. Friend joining us, so we're really excited about that. Do you want to introduce today's guest, Rob?
I do. Actually, Noah was part of the Covenant Eyes family for a little while. Matter of fact, fun fact, he and I started on the same day together for a while. So
that's awesome.
Fond memories. Yeah. So yeah, our guest today, I want to introduce pastor and author Noah Flipiak. And Noah, tell us a little bit about yourself and your work, and we'll get into some questions.
Yeah. I'm the founding pastor of Mosaic Church in Grand Rapids. We're 2 years old, and it's the second church that I've planted, so I'm back on the roller coaster ride again. We're an urban church in the inner city, multi-ethnic. Those are things I'm really passionate about. And then I'm also really passionate about helping men and women find freedom from pornography and finding their identity in Christ. So I'm the author of Beyond the Battle, which is a book for men, a man's guide to his identity in Christ, an over-sexualized world. Here's something new. I wrote a book for teens as well. That's it's for teen guys and girls. And I just, I got a chance to speak at some youth groups and just saw a need, not that there's not resources already out there, but as I'm being asked for personal resources, I decided to write a short book for teens. It's 50 pages because I don't think teens like to read all that much. So I made it 50 pages. It's in the beta reading phase right now. I'm getting great feedback from beta readers. So anyway, that's an exciting new thing. That book is going to be called Navigation Needed. And it's the same sort of subtitle, helping a teen, guy or girl, find their identity in Christ. An over-sexualized world. And then I'm leading my groups of guys. So we do our 7-week groups online at beyondthebattle.net. And then we are experiencing some great heart change in our alumni community. So it's really neat to see God doing a work over the long haul. Karen, I started my groups. I thought about this the other day. We've been doing groups for 5 years. And the reason we started groups is when I started working at Covenant Eyes, you said, you should start groups. And that is the only real reason I started groups. And so honestly, praise God, because we have seen incredible life change in these guys' lives and mine included. So thank you.
You're welcome. And speaking of groups, let's talk a little bit about that alumni group. I hear there's some amazing things happening. These are guys that have gone through your program and then are coming back, right? Now, talk to us a little bit about like what's going on and what that looks like.
Yeah. So our group is 7 weeks long. You know, you pay for the group and it's still pretty accessible to get in. I don't think it's very expensive, and we do scholarships and all that stuff, but it's a paid group and it's a class, you know, you go for 7 weeks, you have to be there. And we see great growth in that. But then after the group is over, it's always been a wrestle of what do we do with these guys next? And we hope that they find local resources and connect at their churches. And I love the church. I'm a pastor. But to be honest, we just didn't see great success with guys being able to find long-term relationships at their churches where they could talk at a deep level about pornography, about sexual sin, and just be really vulnerable. And so we started the alumni group. We started it, I think, 2.5 years ago or so. And it's free. So once you've gone through our 7-week group, we do the alumni group for free. We have multiple Zoom meetings a week where we get on. We basically are doing a devotional together. We're getting into scripture. We're reviewing sort of the material from the Beyond the Battle book. And then we do breakout groups. We do accountability with each other, pray for each other. We really do a lot of trying to embody Jesus' love to each other because that's just such a big part of the recovery journey. And then during the week, we have guys checking in on each other. And then just 1.5 years ago, we started doing retreats. Some guys from out of state came up with the idea. They were like, we want to hang out. We want to come up to Michigan. You Michigan guys are hanging out together. And so we did our first retreat, and we've done three retreats total now, and they're a little more structured. They have been just incredible. I've been pastoring for 20 years, and the type of growth I'm seeing in these groups is very unique, and I'm just really excited about it.
That's excellent. Those are so important. Without that community, yeah, and without that chance to share and be known and have somebody walk alongside, it's pretty tough to overcome issues with pornography and addictions and things. So, I was just, thinking back, it's been about what, 5 or 6 years since you wrote the book and 5 years since you've been doing the groups. You know, what's the biggest thing you've learned and grown with over those 5 years? Maybe something you wish you would have known 5, 6 years ago when you started these groups that maybe can help some of our listeners.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's funny to answer a question about groups with this one, but I'm going to go back to what you said, Rob, that the community side is so important. I think so many of us when I was in my addiction, and I think so many guys and women in this addiction, we just think we can do this on our own. There's incredible shame culturally around sort of coming clean, getting help. And that shouldn't be the case. We all believe in grace. We all need grace. Christians, grace is number one. So we can be vulnerable. But there's this lie from Satan that we have to solve this on our own. And we think with enough willpower, and maybe we rationalize it as faith, I can pray this away. I'm going to be a good Christian. It'll be my New Year's resolution. And I just do not see that being successful probably ever. And so when we started the groups, obviously we believed that we wanted guys to have community. But I would say the biggest thing I learned would be that even the material that we go over, it's not a cure. So I'd like to say, if you read my book, you'll be cured. You'll never, you'll never struggle again. That's not true. And I think I kind of thought that, because when I wrote it, I was doing so good in my own walk. I was really at a point where I had no desire to look at pornography. I didn't need to use Covenant Eyes. I just was really beyond even the temptation, which was incredible. And that's really what the book's about. It's about getting someone to that point. I guess for me, and I'm transparent about this because I got to write an updated edition of the book that came out, I think, 2 years ago now. And I wrote an extra chapter in there. And I said, look, you can never put your guard down. And where I put my guard down was in community. I call it vulnerable community. And I kind of became the answer man because I'm leading these groups and I'm doing interviews. And I stopped. I didn't do it on purpose, but I stopped having people that I could share my own temptations with, my own compromises with. And there was red lights going off from the Holy Spirit saying, you need community in your life. You're no different than anybody else. Everybody needs this community. And if you can find it locally, do it. But we're providing it for you online and now in person. And I think that's the biggest, there's two answers there. One is we never really arrive. We always have to be sharpening ourselves, being in community, staying sharp. And then the second one, pragmatically with the groups, is, we really should have done an alumni community from the very beginning, because 7 weeks is not enough. And I think Satan is just too crafty. You get done with that 7 weeks and it's just too hard to make that next step happen. And so now we've just created the next step for you, and it's free. So that's a nice type of next step.
That's amazing. When you were talking earlier, you mentioned something that kind of broke my heart, because I hate hearing this, but you said a lot of the guys that are in the alumni, they couldn't find that connection point back at their home churches, yeah, or in their communities. And it's like, when you were here at Covenant Eyes, we were having these conversations like, when and how is the church going to, make a place safe for these folks to get connected? It is just disappointing that we're this far along and we're still having that same conversation. Are you seeing any changes out there on that? Because you're at the ground level. I mean, you're a pastor, you're planting, yeah, churches. So what are you seeing?
Yeah. And I'm a realist. I think I'm pastoring my own church, and I love the church. I love small groups. But I think it is an illusion that a church small group will be a place that men and women will be able to find the type of deep community needed for accountability, vulnerability when it comes to sexual sin, sexual temptations. I think church small groups are great for community, connection, friendship. You kind of have the big Sunday morning And then you need those places of connection. So now you have connection with maybe it's 10 people or 5 people or 15 people. And this is true even of men's groups. I was, you know, employed at a very large church, great church. I was involved in a men's group. And again, a great group. But even in a men's group, I wasn't in charge of those groups. I just was an attender of a group, but the conversation didn't get to this level. I think you have to create a group intentionally at this level and say, who wants to come to this group? Like, you're signing up for this when you come. The catch 22 in a church is if you have a group that's like your porn group, people are embarrassed to join it, you know, and churches are embarrassed. I mean, the porn group's meeting after church for lunch today, you know, I mean, and you have to be really, I think churches should have groups like that. We have to be really careful with how we package those groups, but I would just love to see this become a normal part of our discipleship in the church. So we can take away the stigma. We can infuse it into our men's groups and our women's groups. So you don't have to join sort of a stigmatized group in order to do it. Where we've seen success at Mosaic is we did a series on sex, a sermon series, where I was preaching, sharing my story, and we did that for several weeks. And then honestly, this is not the blueprint, but we had guys from our church join my online groups, and they joined on their own. That was the resource I shared. Also shared Crystal Renaud Day's groups for women, SheRecovery.com. And to me, that was the best I could do, and even in our context. But to see our guys join, get involved in the groups, get involved in the alumni community is a win-win for me as a pastor, because now my relationship with them has gone, you know, to the next level. So I'm still trying to figure out the blueprint when it comes to the church at large, but there's certainly, those are some of the obstacles that are out there.
Yeah, that's so key. I wish there was a blueprint out there for all the churches. I did want to talk with you a little bit more about specifically church plants, because I think there's kind of a unique opportunity to create a little different community. Versus, you know, coming into an old church or older church, established church, that this is the way we do church, and now try to change that gets difficult. We go to a lot of conferences where there are a lot of church planters there. And with talking with a number of them, you know, they know pornography is an issue out there. They may even know the extent of it. But when you ask them, you know, what does that mean in your church plan? How do you address that? They kind of scratch their heads. So with your background in a couple of church plants, you've been doing that for a long time. Are there intentional ways that a church planter can build this this help, this issue into the church where it's a little bit more of a normal piece of the church, whether that's, you know, like a healing church, you know, addressing some of those hurts and hangups? But have you seen ways that church planters can really start off with making this fabric of their new church?
Yeah, I think one of the great advantages of planting a church is you get to create the culture. So when you get hired in at an established church, whether it's healthy or it's unhealthy, there's already a culture there. And one of the great leadership challenges then is, okay, how do I sort of honor this culture? And if I don't honor it, I mean, I'm going to make a lot of people really mad, you know, sort of thing, versus a church plant. And there's so many paths you could go with this, but you create the culture. And what your question, Rob, I just think of being vulnerable and transparent. You as a church planter can create a culture of vulnerability. Now, let me say to established pastors listening to or watching, you too are tasked by God to create a culture of vulnerability. Your task is to shift your church culture. Because let's be honest, you hear it all the time. Churches are the stereotype is, hey, how you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. Everybody's good. Everybody's fine. We put the mask on at church and we pretend like everything's good and fine, and we know that it's not. And so it's up to leaders to break through that. Because I think that's another trick of Satan, you know, to get everyone pretending. And it's up to leaders to go, look, we're all broken, you know, and share your testimony as a leader. And if you don't have a testimony in this area, find somebody that does. You can bring in a speaker, but you can find someone in your own church. You can, you know, cast the net and see, hey, does anyone have a testimony of overcoming this? Break the ice with that, share some resources. But yeah, back to church planting, I think please, if you're a church planner, take advantage of the opportunity you have. You get to do anything you want. Nobody's going to get mad at you. Nobody's going to be offended. So take that and run with it. Because if you wait too long, you're going to end up with that same culture of surface level, you know, that sort of thing. And so church doesn't have to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. There's a time and place for certain things. Like I said, I don't think your Sunday afternoon co-ed small group is the place, you know, to have your accountability time for your sexual temptations. But I do think there's a funnel effect. Like, I'll wrap up what I was saying earlier. You have the big church service, you have your small groups. And then within those groups, encourage people to build relationships. You can even create curriculum. At my church in Lansing, we created triad curriculum. We want you to find two other people, you know, two other guys or two other ladies. If get in groups of three, you find them yourself. Here's curriculum to do and go through this. And that was deep level accountability, you know, type of stuff. So I think the church can be a great tool to funnel people there, but it's got to start from the leadership. That leaders are broken. We've been transformed by grace, but we're still dependent on that grace. And so we just need to model that better.
I think it's interesting because we've had several interviews over the course of our podcast season where people have brought up that similar point that you just mentioned. It's, you know, you've got your church service, your Sunday school, your small groups, but then there's these intimate, and the number three keeps coming up. So bizarre, you know, the Barnabas, Paul, Timothy model. But, you know, finding those very close-knit, smaller subsets where you can be vulnerable. And I think that's really important because I know for a long time, you know, a lot of churches, and even at Covenant Eyes, we've been trying to equip small groups to really tackle this issue. But you're right, it's not always the safest place. And sure, over time, you can develop a culture where it is safe in those groups. But I mean, if we're being honest, that's not really the place where you want to unpack all of your baggage, you know, because you don't know everyone in that group real well. But yep, those small groups, I think, is where it's really at. And I think that's why I love what you do with your groups, because if you don't have that in your local church, you can find that with other believers in the groups that you offer, where you can come together with other men who are on that journey, or women, if you join a women's group with Crystal or other people that are doing groups for women. So I find that fascinating that it keeps coming up.
Yeah, it's so important. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is at work, you know, in kind of fanning this flame. I think three is a great number, better than two, because you may have someone who falls off, but then you still have somebody as far as their consistency level goes, but someone who's still there. I think two, I don't like being in one-on-ones with people because it's too much pressure on me. I'd much rather sort of two of us carry somebody else, and you know, two people are carrying me in the church setting. But for sure, with church small groups at Mosaic, I want people to join small groups. You know, that's the next step. You're a visitor, you're starting to check the church out, join a group so you have some friends. And you're really going, you're still feeling out this community, you're just trying to meet some people. While as much as I'm all for being vulnerable, it would be an inappropriate place for someone to just really spill the beans on their life history of trauma, of their life history of temptation or life history of sexual sin, let alone the way they struggled in the last week. Versus, again, you're signing up for this purpose, you're dedicated to this purpose. And you might ask, well, how in a group like ours can you get on Zoom with people you've never met? We go from 0 to 100 like that. Every time. And it works every time. And it's because that's what we're there for. That's the environment we've set. That's what everybody's covenanted to do. And it really works. So I don't want to bash church small groups. I think they have their purpose. But yeah, I do think we need to be careful not to ask them to do things that they're not really equipped to do. And then we need to create the spaces that are equipped to do those things.
No, that's so important. So key. Well, Noah, before we jump off here, we'd like to share with our listeners, if they're interested in your small groups or in the Beyond the Battle book, how do they connect with those resources?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. The best place is beyondthebattle.net, and you'll find everything there about joining groups, and you can find the book anywhere, but I think there's links to the book there as well, beyondthebattle.net.
Awesome. We'll be sure to put all of the links in our show notes, and listeners, be sure to check out these groups. Noah is an amazing pastor and leader, and he's passionate about this topic. And so you will not be disappointed in both the book or the group. So either or both will work wonderful in your life. So Noah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. It's always great to see you. I'm so glad to see God has just continued to bless your life, and you are doing amazing things for the Lord. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me, and keep up the great work.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you for checking in with Covenant Eyes Podcast. We'll see you next time. God bless.